This episode of Blister's Breakaway is brought to you by you, the fans. That's right. You want to support us in 2022? You want to give a late Christmas gift? You don't want to give a late Christmas gift because you think that's weird giving someone a gift to our Patreon? Oh, it might be weird, but let me convince you. Or I won't convince you, but let me tell you what's going to happen if you do. You'll get access to our Discord, you'll get BSBOTs, and you get to support cool people like us. We're not cool? 2022 doesn't, it didn't, nothing we've done is bad? Okay, all right. Done having that conversation. By that I mean the New York Rangers were supposed to play the Detroit Red Wings today. That did not happen. We're supposed to play Florida on Wednesday. Fingers crossed. But we have Ryan Hanna on from Winged Wheel Podcast. They are an excellent Detroit Red Wings podcast. Top of the line. On another independent podcast, we look out for each other. Very fun times. With that being said, we go over what should have happened in tonight's game, what's going on in Detroit, and Greg convinces me on, you know, maybe some arguments he had last week. They're starting to sink in. Anyway, I hope you have a happy holidays, a wonderful new year. Stay safe and happy everything from us. Just go out there and achieve. We believe in you. We're proud dads. All right, let's get to the show and Mark Messier. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. It's been a long year.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Bushwick Breakaway fans, welcome to the Bushwick Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead, of patreon.com/Bushwick Breakaway, where you can support this podcast, where there is no Rangers hockey to talk about. I'm here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan. Greg, say hello.
Ryan?
Yes.
I can't think of... I've been trying to think for the last 7 seconds about things in the sports world that people get worked up about that I care less about than World Juniors.
I think it's probably the Olympics is the thing you cared less about for Olympic hockey.
No, I fucking love the... Oh, well, Olympic hockey.
Yes. You like the Olympics. I mean,
biathlon.
I'm not talking about the biathlons, Greg. We know how serious you are about those things.
I am a big biathlon guy and itching to bet on some speed skating.
Yes, there's a lot of jokes here. And I
promo code Blue Shirts.
There we go. All right, fun times. Let's get to it. Right to it, right off the rip. The NHL has postponed some games for the New York Rangers. They have also called a taxi squad. As of right now, we're recording actually a day early. Due to some circumstances. Very strange, I know.
You have no proof of this.
That's correct. I don't have timestamps or anything for the podcast, which is good. But the Rangers have been pushed back, and they have three players in protocol as of right now, and that's Georgiev, Nemeth, who was already in protocol, and Ryan Lindgren. I do not know what the return to play time would be for these players. The next scheduled game for the Rangers that is still on, as of this time in recording, on the 26th, is versus the Panthers in Florida. Will the Rangers fly to Florida to play the Panthers and then the Lightning on Friday and then the Lightning again on Sunday? Time will tell. I have a feeling maybe the NHL will push things back one more time as they're figuring things out. But the taxi squad is as follows, Gregory, and then we can kind of debate it a little bit. It's now through the All-Star break. It's a max six players. Those six players can be on the taxi squad for up to 20 days. They are treated as AHL for cap purposes and injuries. And they are ineligible on NHL rosters in December 22, waivers exempt, and on NHL rosters, 54 days of blah, 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 whatever. So pretty much they're on the rosters for 20 days. They can be on there, and they're on there until the All-Star break. But this probably means that the Rangers are going to call up Morgan Barron. Keith Kincaid will be on this for sure. I'd imagine there are other players down there that will also get a shot from the AHL. People you've probably heard of before, but... non-starters, as all the entire league deals with putting everybody on COVID protocol.
I just don't know what the point is of the taxi squad. We talk about this with our guest today, Ryan from Wing Wheeled Podcast stops by, and at the end of that, I explain this again, but I'll say it right now for all the good people, because I'm a man who likes to deliver. How does this help? Who benefits?
The only people that benefit is the NHL because they're trying to make these games happen no matter what.
Does the NHL benefit is my question, though. Because you're telling me it's better for Zach Jones to sit on the taxi squad than it is for him to play in Hartford. It's better for Morgan Barron. Keith doesn't really matter. Keith's ready to go whenever he's ready to go. Goalies like that doesn't matter. My young prospects, I don't want them practicing and sitting. I want them playing. It doesn't even feel like a half measure. To me, this is a no measure. The simple solution for me is to, once again, all the NHL has to do is try to mimic the NBA in the best way it could. The NBA has these 10-day hardship contracts where when teams get hit by the bug, they can sign guys, some of them essentially off the street. Like I saw the Lakers sign Darren Collison, who hadn't played in the league in 2 years.
Hold on. I do want to say this. So the NHL has something called the Revised Emergency Exception Rule. So emergency exceptions are a $0 cap hit. They're now eligible for cap hits under $1 million up to $850K.
Right, which is essentially you take a player off your taxi squad, you put him in the league.
That's correct, yeah.
But that should have been it. I don't understand why. Why have the taxi squad? Like, if someone gets sick, you have to make a player move anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling – for the Rangers specifically, and I know there are some teams where it's not as convenient as your minor league team being in Hartford when you're playing in New York. But for the Rangers specifically – if someone gets sick on Monday and you don't play again until Tuesday, okay, it's an hour train ride or whatever it is, and he'll be here. Like, I don't know. It just – the taxi squad to me seems unnecessary. They should have done the emergency waiver ineligible exemption, whatever it's
– I'm going to do some hindsight slandering. I know this sounds crazy. Okay. But
– yeah.
The Islanders dealt with some serious COVID outbreaks before this.
Oh, yeah, no, their shit should have been canceled a lot sooner, huh?
Yes. Yeah, the Islanders dealt with some serious stuff.
To be fair, we said this at the time.
Yeah, I don't want to feel bad for the Islanders. I try not to, but they are human beings, too, and they are an NHL team. And if this happened to the Rangers, I'd be pissed.
Good news. Matt Barzal has been found.
That's good. I was worried about that. He was missing for a long time.
It went on a little too long, right?
It did.
Like, it was funny. And then we got to, like, the 1 week, 10-day mark, and at some point, they were just like, okay, seriously, how does nobody know where this fucker is? He's Matt Barzal.
Yeah, he's the best player on the Islanders. How does no one figure this out? But now that he has been found, looking back, the team, they dealt with a lot of COVID issues and a COVID outbreak that was just decimating to their standings, to the way they played, and the NHL forced it on. Without this taxi squad rule, even though we're not exactly the biggest fans of it here, which allows the NHL to move forward, hopefully, through this impossible-to-navigate situation, should have probably been implemented months ago. I don't understand how that wasn't discussed.
Before the season started, there should have been an understanding that if an outbreak happened within your team. So the NHL's goal here is to keep games going, right? That's
absolutely the goal.
So when an outbreak happens on your team, there should have been a mechanism in place that allowed you not acquire players from outside your organization, but any of your 50 contract eligible players should be eligible for your lineup regardless of cap hit, as long as someone on your main roster is in COVID protocol. And then once they come out of protocol, that player is Dunsbar. He has to go. That, like, there are some things where there are no perfect answers, and I get that. This one feels pretty easy. If the goal is to just play games, okay. Any of my 50 eligible contracts can come up in a COVID emergency recall. That COVID emergency recall is not salary cap compliant or waivers eligible. They are only here to play until my player who is sick is no longer sick, and then that player is gone. And I feel like that, you know, wash your hands. You're done. You're good. Worry about the next problem.
I think that's the best way to handle it. So
it seems like the only logical way to be. I'm open to other ideas if people have them, but the NHL is making this too hard, I feel like. Understand that things are fucked up. Understand that things are not going to get better. And understand that you're just going to have to do shit you normally wouldn't do in order to get through this period if the end goal is to just keep playing games, right? So if the goal is to keep playing games, say, fuck it. If you're under contract from this team before the season started, you're good to go. If not, shit out of luck.
Nothing better. I don't think we can say anything else. Do you think the Rangers will play this week?
Yes.
I do too. I think they play Wednesday night. Hopefully.
I think it's – well, credit where credit's due. This hasn't really bombed the Rangers roster
They've
yet.
Played two –
I know Nemeth. I thought Lindgren was out today.
Yeah, it's Lindgren, Georgiev, and Nemeth. So time will come.
The Rangers – eh. I mean, Lindgren's – that hurts.
Lindgren's rough because I was looking at the practice squad today, and the lines were Fox, Hayek.
Oh, yeah.
So, Fox, Hayek, then Miller, Trouba. Cool. That's nice. And then it's Tenorti, Niels.
Can you think of anything that would boost Fox's Norris candidacy more than making Lieber, Hayek passable?
Not a single thing. That's what when you could do the impossible, and that's what Adam Fox can do. He could do the impossible every single day, day in, day out. When you carry Lieber Hayek like that, which he's done before, and make him look like a serviceable NHL player, that's Norris quality, baby. That's all you can
and
get.
That man's ripping, roaring, ready to go. He's full of Chinese food and movie theater popcorn. Let's go, baby.
He celebrated the holidays right. Hope you guys had a great holidays out there. We're still sort of in the midst of it right now, so very fun time.
Very disappointed in The Kingsman, by the way. That's my review.
I did watch, now that we're talking movies, I watched Don't Look Up today. Thought that was fun.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, it's fun. People will probably hate it. I thought it was good. Anyway, moving on from that. That was Movie Talk with Ryan and Greg.
Hey, quick.
How was Sing? Sing 2.
Spoiler alert. Now that we haven't timestamped this podcast, but since we're recording on Sunday, Sing 2 is now a Monday afternoon thing.
Okay. That's good. I'll edit that out. I'll keep it in.
What? No. Let the people know. I'm gonna have opinions on it tomorrow, and then they're gonna listen to this podcast and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, Greg said he was gonna do that."
Okay, we'll talk about Sing. If you want to hear about Sing 2, we'll talk about a BSBOT this week, post game of the.
You remember? Let's play a game of BSB. Remember?
We did Baby
you
Driver
way back when we did an emergency standalone podcast.
Nice guys.
On us talking about Baby Driver.
We did Nice Guys too.
I fucking love
Nice Guys. Great movie. Amazing. Watch it.
You
watch
guys
it like
go
2 weeks
find
ago.
That shit. That shit's out there still.
I can't. Nice Guys was like a good marketing ploy away from being a franchise, like a John Wick kind of deal. And I don't think they fucked it up. It just didn't hit the way. It's an amazing movie, front to back. The elevator scene, mwah.
And everything Ryan Gosling does in that movie is great.
It's amazing. Russell Crowe's a banger too. Be honest. All right, let's get to it. So the Rangers are going to go into this game versus Florida with at least three players in protocol. Two of their starting defensemen. That means our defensive lines are Hayek and Fox, Miller and Trouba, and then Tenorti Niels. Everyone else is intact on the, at least for now, for the forward lines. We'll see what happens with COVID the rest of the week and the trip down to Florida, of course. What can we kind of expect going into this Florida game? The Rangers haven't played in over 2 weeks. I think the whole NHL is a shit show right now. But Igor Shesterkin is back. Artemi Panarin is back. They both seem very healthy. Everyone's ready to go. That's not in COVID protocol. And I think the Rangers are going to have a good test on their hands here with Florida. And obviously, not a back-to-back, but in 2 and 3 days with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Cheaters, by the way.
I'm expecting a shit show, and I'm expecting someone else not to be available for this game before it plays. So therefore, I'm not going to really answer this question and pivot entirely.
I like it.
Ryan, something I've been thinking about since you and I last talked. Remember way back when, BSB remembers, that
hashtag BSB remembers.
I said the Rangers needed to go all in, or reasons why.
Never heard of this. This wasn't on last week's episode, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Previously on BSB.
Okay.
I've revised my opinion for you.
Before you do that, like, give people a second, because people in the car are now listening going, finally, Greg has found some sense. He's not willing to trade Brendan Othman for Hurdle. Okay? Three, two, one. Okay, go ahead.
I think it's irresponsible if the Rangers don't go all in. Like, criminally irresponsible. Let me paint the picture for you.
No, please do, because I have to admit, and I do love eating some crow, I still wouldn't do the Othman for Hurdle trade, but...
I will say again, guys, that is the extreme.
It's an extreme hypothetical
I am willing to go to,
and it's to make the point, and that's it. And it does make the point. But
Do I think it would take Othman to get Hurdle? Not necessarily. Would I do it? Yes, that was the point I was making. But how many times have we talked about how locked into this roster the Rangers are after this season if they sign Strom? Whether they sign Strom or not, whoever they put in Strom's place, whether it's Strom or someone else, for the next 4 years, that's the New York Rangers roster. That's it. We're done. Game over. Thanks for coming. We're riding and dying with this roster. This year, year of our Lord 2021, soon to be 2022, this is the last time the New York Rangers don't only have cap space, significant cap space. All the cap space in the world to do whatever the fuck they want for this season. And they can do any trade that they want because their farm system is as strong as it's possibly going to be. Some of the young guys that they have that are rising stars are going to age out, and you are relying on the Rangers to refill this prospect pool with reliable guys. Now, they've been pretty good about it in the past, but again, no guarantees. So the prospect pool is as good as it's going to be. Your cap space is as high as it's going to be. And again, this is the only, not the only time, but the last time in the next 4 years, Ryan, where the Rangers can go outside the organization, bring in a high-level caliber player without having to take off one of their 18 regulars from the lineup on a nightly basis. If they want to do a trade next year, it's going to have to be money in, money out. Someone's going. The year after that, money in, money out. Someone's going. The year after that, Kreider or Trouba, money's going. This is it. This is the only season in the next 4 years where the Rangers can go shopping in the most expensive stores for any player that they want to make their team as good as possible for this big run. Whether you think they're ready or not, it's almost not the point at right now.
It's actually not the point.
That's not the point.
It's just
– we're just
– it's your last opportunity.
This is a shitty – this isn't the bet I would have gotten in, but I'm in it, and now I need to make the best of it. And this is the only year the Rangers can do this. I want Joe Pavelski, but I need the Dallas Stars to throw a fit. If it's not going to be Pavelski, someone like Hurdle. But I don't know how to explain to people whether you think the Rangers are ready or not. It's not the point. This is the only year they can afford to make this kind of move. And to say, well, then I just want to do it. What the fuck are you doing? Like, I just don't understand. Your team is first or near the top of a super competitive division that is volatile on a year-to-year basis, where we think at least one of the teams currently at the bottom of the division won't be there anymore come next year. So you have this unique opportunity gifted to you by the misfortune of those around you. And you're just going to be like, eh, I guess that's fine. I don't really care. Fuck that. Go all in.
I thought about this a lot over the weekend. I had a couple long drives to think about the Rangers, as is tradition, what you do in long drives. I thought about all the teams in the East, and I know we kind of went through this last week, but I think you're right. When it comes to having Igor Shesterkin and Adam Fox, isn't that kind of all you need to steal a series? Isn't that kind of all you need is Igor Shesterkin? That's what the Rangers did for years with Henrik Lundqvist, and there's no team this year that I would consider, even the Tampa Bay Lightning, who I'm sure have a switch to turn it on, right? I'm sure they do. And we'll see them this weekend.
It's called a salary cap loophole. They haven't found it yet.
That's true. You're right. You're right. Those cheaters. They have that switch. I'm sure they do. But the Maple Leafs haven't proven it. The Panthers, we still don't know. The Bruins are a mess. The Hurricanes, I mean, they're the Hurricanes. I know they're good right now, but can the Rangers outperform them in the playoffs? The Hurricanes beat them 2 years ago, but this is a totally different Ranger team. The Capitals, the Penguins are older. Obviously, Ovechkin doesn't age, but the rest of the Capitals have choked in the playoffs the last couple years. It kind of makes me think, like, why not us? And if why not us, why not go shopping? You're never going to have $8 million for the next 4 years, just like you said. And is that Hurdle? I don't know. Who's that player that they're going to go for? Maybe it's two players. Maybe you go after
two. You know what it feels like to me, Ryan?
What's that?
I'm a really bad poker player, right?
Okay.
Horrible.
You're very emotional. Right.
Me? No.
Yes. the octaves you hit.
Imagine you're dealt pocket sevens.
Yes.
You don't feel great about it, but it's a pocket pair, so you want to play it.
Yep.
And then
you're calling.
On the flop, you get a third seven. And say it's like, say the flop is ace,
I like where
seven,
you're going with this.
King.
Yep.
You have your three sevens. You're telling me instead of going all in with your three sevens, you're just going to sit there and say, eh, I'm sure someone else has three aces or three kings.
Right.
So why would I do
house.
It now?
Yeah.
But why do it? No, guys, sometimes the hand you're dealt is not the one you wanted, but you have to find out if it's the winning hand. And this is the only year that the New York Rangers will be able to see if they can win.
I hate when you do shit like that because it makes way too much sense. Like, you just painted a beautiful picture for me. You made it make sense for everybody out there. And now I'm like, God damn it, the Rangers have to go all in at all costs.
Yes.
It feels
Ryan.
Miserable.
Feel it.
It feels miserable. It does. I'm starting to think, like,
would say feel the tingles, bro.
That's true. Tingle. Hashtag tingle. We almost put that on the billboard. I can almost feel that. It might be two. Maybe it's two players at $4 million each. Who knows? How much can you really push into this roster? Is Chris Drury brave enough? Is he smart enough? These are all questions that we have to figure out.
That's a different argument, right?
It is.
Do I feel Chris Drury is smart enough to push his chips all in? No, I don't.
Has to be. You cannot trade Pavel Buchnevich for what you did. I understand. Well, at least I could possibly, maybe, tinily see the logic on why they did it. I think maybe they thought they had Eichel. I think maybe they thought a couple other things were going to go their way. They didn't. And they might have let him walk. Whatever.
This might hurt your brain a little bit, what I'm about to say, but stick with me.
Okay.
I'd rather Chris Drury push all in for the right reasons, but get the bet wrong, than sit tight for all the wrong reasons and get the bet right.
It did hurt my brain, but I do see what you're saying.
In other words,
it's good practice.
Going all in to me is the move. So I now need Drury to show me he could get it right. Whereas I think folding is the wrong move, and I don't care. Everything that happens after folding is nonsense to me because it's just not built from a place of logic.
Like I said earlier, this just not,
I wish, Ryan, more than anything, I wish that the Rangers in future seasons would go into the year with $8.5 million in cap space.
They will not.
Sounds like a wonderful luxury to have.
They will not.
It ain't going to happen. This is it. This is the 1 year. So this is your 1 year you get to put your chips in, and you get to go out there and get the really fancy piece. And, oh, by the way, the Rangers need a really fancy piece.
They need two.
So go fucking do it. Well, okay. The second one's on defense, though, and we've had this conversation with Vince where I don't think the New York Rangers see a problem with what Patrick Nemeth is doing.
They don't. So, they don't. And we talked about this on OT.
I also do think that the defense is easily upgraded in-house. I don't need to trade for a fancy defensive
player. I'd want to start with Jones and Niels first and then go from there. Just see. Let me see it. I know it's small.
Yeah.
I know it gets run over. Can I give you a kind of hot take? I think I'd rather see Schneider. I really would. I'd rather see Braden Schneider up here playing a bottom six role. I think he's like good enough now to do it.
I don't know if he's better than Jones right now. And Jones has the wet feet, right?
Yeah. He's already been here. He's proven he can do it. He can do it. So
yeah, I think I'd still give Jones first shake. Not saying Jones is going to be better than Schneider. It's just like, give me the guy that's at least had a taste as opposed to the greenie. But my point is, you have the salary cap, you have the prospects, you have a clear need, and you have a playoff cushion at the top of your division. What the fuck are you doing? Push those chips in. Give me Drury's number. We're putting something up in Trumbull. Am I going to have to go stand on street corners with a megaphone?
I do think, and I wish, you know, for many, 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 many reasons, we weren't going through another variant right now and blah, 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 all these things going on. But I would love to have a watch party at one of his pizza places. Like, it's an amazing idea. I wish we could do.
Oh, boy.
Not for you?
Yeah. Protesting. It's not for me. I know how that goes for me. And
not well?
Yeah. Okay. Listen. I've done the unemployment thing.
Got it. Got it.
I'm not really looking to do it again.
Trying not to do that. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, give me a couple months. Let me revisit this in the summer.
Happy holidays, Greg. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
We don't have much more else to hit on here before we get to Ryan. Any other topics you want to talk about before we move on?
Boy, let's see. Well, baseball's still in a lockout.
Yep.
So.
Baseball's still in a lockout. NBA and NFL are going through a bunch of crap. Fun times.
I started Drew Lock in my fantasy playoff today. Hey, by the way, you in that playoff?
Anyway, here's if you want more context, you can go listen to BSBOT, where I used to have an absolute meltdown. Very fun. And if you want to skip ads, you can also subscribe to the Patreon. But for now, and I hope you all had a happy holidays.
Promo code BLUESHIRTS if you're skipping it.
Okay, thank you. We're going. Transition.
The holidays are almost here. And there's no better way to celebrate the holidays than by saying DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to New York. It won't be long until you can get and bet on all your favorite sports right here in the Empire State on the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Now, I will say not all of the bets you make are going to be free money, like Brett Howden plus 500 to score a goal against the New York Rangers was. You know DraftKings for their daily fantasy contests now. They've brought their expertise to sports betting so that sports fans everywhere can get on the action from their couch. DraftKings Sportsbook offers everything you would ever want from a sports betting app, player props, same game parlays, you name it, they have it. In just a short time, you'll be able to bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home, including the ones that make you sad, with one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, DraftKings Sportsbooks. It's safe, secure, reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So, check out DraftKings and tell them I sent you, Greg Kaplan, this guy, me, by using promo code BLUESHIRTS. That's promo code BLUESHIRTS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook coming soon to New York. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbooks for full details. Must be 21 plus and physically present in New York. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Hey, we're back with special guest of the week, another Ryan. Ryan Hanna of the other independent top 10 podcast that covers only one team, Winged Wheeled Pod. Ryan, how are you? Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Ryan, I so appreciate the intro. I need to hire you to rep the Winged Wheel Pod because you do it better than we do.
We have a sponsor right now that you literally helped us get. So congratulations. Thanks so much.
Oh, did that come through?
Hell yeah. Brother sponsor the podcast right now. Don't say who it is because it's not your sponsor, but there you go.
No. I'm happy and you guys deserve it. So Ryan, Greg, thanks for having me on. And I like the camaraderie. It's good. We need to stick together.
Thanks, bud. I have a we'll talk off air.
Promo code Blue Shirts. I'm also just realizing, Ryan, I haven't sent you a new one.
You will get that done. We'll talk off air, okay. But I have a new I scratch your back, you scratch mine. I'm going to get you a new sponsor. So there you go. Very fun.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Very cool.
Okay.
Let's get it right into it. The Red Wings were supposed to play the Rangers last night, as this podcast has come out on a Tuesday. That did not happen, as the NHL pushed back all games until at least Tuesday, and they'll be releasing when exactly they'll be replaying those games because they're not going to the Olympics any longer. We were going to break down that game post-game, do the whole thing, be great analysts. You know how it goes. But instead, we're going to talk about prospect development, at least up front, because you have two prospects on your team that have been on fire this entire year, and we have the first and second overall pick for 2 years in a row, and it's been a really controversial time for us. What's it been like as a Red Wing fan to kind of follow these two rookies that just have exploded?
First of all, as a Red Wings fan, it's been, you know, nothing short of phenomenal. And I'm not trying to rub it in, and I want to come back
please.
To the Rangers side of this, because I have a bone to pick with the Rangers. They're making me look stupid. But as a Red Wings fan, it's been fantastic. Everyone expected Moritz Seider to come in this year and obviously make the team. And it wouldn't have been a crazy statement. And I think we said on the pod, Brad Crisco, one of the other hosts, has said last season, Moritz Seider was probably going to end up being the Red Wings' best defenseman by the end of the season. Like 5 or 6 games in was a bit sooner than we anticipated. The real big surprise has been Lucas Raymond. We've been excited about Lucas Raymond from the moment he was drafted. We thought, you know, he was best player available at 4th overall. There was a good argument to be made that he could be justified at 3rd over Tim Stützle, who's a phenom in his own right. But Lucas Raymond didn't have the same advantage that Moritz Seider had coming into the league. Moritz Seider was 6 foot a million, played against grown men and dominated physically against grown men. Lucas Raymond also played against grown men, but he had more limited ice time in his first season and didn't obviously have the size advantage. So for him to come in and just completely blow everyone's expectations out of the water, he's the best rookie in the NHL right now in my mind. Moritz Seider's not too far behind. Trevor Zegras is obviously in the conversation, but the Red Wings fans haven't had this kind of joy and happiness since, you know, the late 2000s when they were competing for cups. So very big, we don't know what to do with our hands energy right now, but it's been special to watch. That's the word I'd use, is special.
Moritz Seider, I want to talk a little bit more about him because he's one of the rare breed of prospects where on draft day, he was a high riser. I remember that. And I remember teams being very excited about him, but it was still in the moment stunning that the Red Wings took him as high as they did. Now, usually when this happens, it goes poorly for teams. But Steve Yzerman is a practitioner of the dark arts. How satisfying, is that the word I should use, that the Red Wings got this right?
Satisfying is absolutely right. I'm going to go a couple steps further here and say it was crucial. Like, it was necessary. Because the Red Wings, in all their years of success, I don't want to say the Red Wings have bad luck. It's just that the Red Wings have had too much cosmic fortune. They've had too much success either through their own right or through luck in finding Lidstrom in the draft and Zetterberg and Datsyuk and what have you. They are never going to get draft lottery luck. Not like the Rangers have had, not like the Devils have had, not like, you know, anyone else has had. So they needed to nail that pick, and they needed to nail the Lucas Raymond pick. I'll be honest, when Moritz Seider was picked, we were shocked. And, you know, disappointed is fair because we desperately wanted Trevor Zegras at that spot and he fell to 9. But we were just shocked. We actually liked Moritz Seider so much that earlier in the the offseason, we did a whole preview episode on him to say, here's a guy who the Red Wings should pray falls to the early second round or pick 30 where they took or whatever pick they had that year, because he would be a fantastic steal at that spot. But we weren't anticipating six overall. He proved everyone wrong. We have egg on our face. We're happy to eat crow on this one. We're happy to be just so devastatingly wrong about what Moritz Seider could be. And there's a lot that goes into that. And it has to do with, you know, how Moritz Seider's coaches in Germany asked him to play in his draft year, et cetera, et cetera. But I won't go into it. Steve Yzerman put faith in his draft team, and he went up there in a draft where he had just only really joined the team. And that took some big steel ones. As someone who is a massive, massive fan of Steve Yzerman, was pounding the table for Detroit to bring him back even before he did, I was blown away the fact that he did that. So credit to him, credit to the draft team. And the Red Wings aren't talking about accelerating or finally shaving years off the end of the rebuild if he didn't make that pick that day.
Yeah, it's really ballsy to do that. The Rangers did that with a couple players, like Elias Anderson, I guess, is one. I don't know if Elias Anderson was falling to the second round, right? But that was a disaster for the Rangers. And then
Hedel was not supposed to be a first-round pick, and it actually worked out. I do think we forget that from time to time.
Very often, and I mean, you've made the point a million times that Filip Hedel should just be looked at as what the Rangers picked in the top 10 in that draft. And it's kind of exactly what exactly happened. Elias has been... Obviously, he's a king now, and he's totally gone. Didn't really get a fair shot here. So with Lucas Raymond, we were expecting Lafreniere to kind of come out and, I don't want to say be gangbusters right away, but when you get a first overall pick, you have some certain expectations, especially of a player who scored 200 points plus in 2 years in juniors. So Lucas Raymond has come out and kind of been that player. And is there any signs he's going to slow down? Is there any signs it's a fluke for you? Do you believe it? Is the talent all real? Give me all the gist.
Oh, first of all, I think it's all real. I mean, I spend a lot of time watching Red Wings games just focusing it only on Raymond and Seider. Everything Raymond does is just, it's real, it's professional, it's at the NHL level, it oozes skill and talent, it's all there. I think he's been given an opportunity to play with Larkin and Bertuzzi, and those guys should not be discounted in terms of what they can do for a rookie. Giving them the time and the space, they draw so much attention away and create that space on the ice. And Lucas Raymond is just so talented. He's so smart offensively, especially. His hockey IQ is through the roof, and he's capitalized on that. It's just been a perfect storm of opportunity and execution. We've been warning Red Wings fans, don't be worried if there's a slump, don't be worried if there's a slowdown, because these guys haven't played 82 game NHL seasons. The cancellation of the Olympics and this little mini break here, Raymond was just added to the COVID protocol today, but I mean, who hasn't been? That aside, there are a lot of these little mini breaks built in, which I think is going to be advantageous to the rookies. If you see small slumps, I think that's nothing other than just physical adjustment. But other than that, it's all very, very real. I think the part, honestly, for me, that's surprising is what the hell is going on with Lafreniere. I haven't followed too closely, but this is a guy who, of a lot of drafts that we've covered recently, I would have guaranteed Lafreniere would come out, you know, head and shoulders above as the number one overall prospect. So, I mean, I think maybe that's when we have you guys on the Winged Wheel Pod to tell us what's happening.
Greg could give you a little bit summary right now if you'd like. I mean, feel free to go, Greg.
No. We'll save it for the Winged Wheel, because I'll let you know when I'm worried. How about that? If that helps you at all. You brought up a name I'd much rather focus on, because it speaks more about what's going on in Motown and what we can expect.
Mark Stahl.
I forgot about him entirely.
We'll get to
not
him.
Who I had.
Keep going,
mind.
Greg.
We'll get to him. Slow ride for Mark Stahl, like his back checking. Anyway, a popular name in Ranger trade circles this past summer, and I still think lingering now, but the Red Wings are playing better, so I think a lot of people have quieted down about it, is Dylan Larkin. He's under contract next year. The Red Wings weren't supposed to be this good this soon. So whether the Red Wings were going to trade or not trade Dylan Larkin has become a little murkier. From your bird's eye view, how do you see Dylan Larkin playing out? Do you still think, regardless of the success, the moderate success the Red Wings are having this year, could you see a scenario where, if any GM in hockey understands the big picture, it's Steve Yzerman, could he still trade Dylan Larkin?
Nobody's untouchable. I think the only players you can really guarantee are not going to be traded on the Red Wings are Raymond and Sider. That said, Larkin is about as close as you can get. And I understand, Greg, your rationale here. You know, Detroit traded Anthony Mantha, even though he was a really strong talent, still in prime years and locked down on a good contract. But he didn't factor in age-wise into when they'd be truly cup competitive again in the rebuild. Tyler Bertuzzi, you know, the vaccination thing makes it complicated because he can't play in Canada as per the rules right now. So that has thrown a wrench in it. But if you remove that, he'd be a prime trade candidate. Again, playing the best hockey of his life, playing in prime years. The contract situation is a little dicey. He's had a couple tough negotiations with the Red Wings. But that aside, he'd be a good candidate to move because that's just a timing thing with the rebuild. Here's the thing with Dylan Larkin. The Detroit Red Wings and their fans have been through some hell over the last half decade or so. They have a brand new arena that was very expensive to build, somewhat on the back of taxpayers, but that's a different conversation. And then they were playing like crap beforehand. They're coming out of a pandemic. Basically, this team cannot afford to lose a ton of money. This is a very heart and soul, you know, franchise. You guys know, Original Six franchise. The fans, you feel it. It's part of the pulse of the city, and especially for Detroit, what the Red Wings have meant for the city. You can't go through that much losing, and you can't sell absolutely everything. And this is coming from someone who loves to boil things down to the absolute objective value on a spreadsheet. How do you maximize value? How do you put yourself in the best position possible, et cetera, et cetera. The fact is, Dylan Larkin was named captain, and that means too much in Detroit to just simply move him. I think Yzerman understands that, and I think ownership understands that. From every possible contact source connection I've had, I've not seen any serious conversation that Larkin would be moved even before this season. I don't anticipate it happening now. I think he's a Red Wing. I don't want to say for life. You never know what happens, but for the foreseeable future, I don't even think he's on the table unless someone's offering something absolutely lucrative. He's part of the identity for Detroit, and that matters for reasons other than just, as silly as it is to say, objective production on the ice, which he's putting out right now.
That stuff matters. It matters to all teams. As much as a spreadsheet junkies kind of like us, and especially us on Blue Shirts Breakaway here, we're big-time value boys. Get the value at all costs. But you'll learn time and time again when you start following the NHL, that's not what happens. Sometimes it is about the chemistry and it is about the personality.
Yeah, it's almost like, Ryan, that they're people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, huh? Weird. It is weird. Very interesting. Yeah, so now that we've gotten all that out of the way, do you expect Larkin to kind of maybe go into extension talks maybe next year?
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, you know the way Yzerman works, right? He's not afraid to go down to the wire.
No, he's not.
Asking for them, no. But Larkin has bought in. He's the identity for this Red Wings rebuild. I've never seen a guy who hates losing more in modern Red Wings times than Dylan Larkin. So I think he'll go into extension talks. If you're going to pick someone to take a somewhat team friendly deal, or at least get it done early, it'll be Larks. And I think that'll be a priority for the franchise as well. It's, again, they're human. The locker room chemistry matters, and they've done too much losing, and losing hurts prospects. It hurts development. It hurts everything, morale, the wallet, everything. So they'll want to get him done, and they'll want to avoid all that crap.
Do you expect? Sorry, Greg. Go on.
Sorry, Ryan. I'm dying to know something, and I need you to answer this for me. What is it like following the team that not only has the only smart general manager / president in hockey, but the general manager / president in hockey that knows he's the only smart guy in the room?
It's every day. You were making comparisons to Ken Holland. That's what it's like. And it's so stupid because Ken Holland's gone and he did so much good for Detroit. And I advocate for him having a statue in front of the arena someday. But Ken Holland's latter years in Detroit were just an exercise in frustration and pulling hair out of your head. And so to go from Ken Holland and seeing what he's doing in Edmonton now to Steve Yzerman, it's...
You're saying you don't believe in Duncan Keith? No.
Come on, Ryan.
Why have Duncan Keith when you can have Mark Stahl is all I'm saying.
Hey, listen, we'll get to Mark Stahl in a second, but I guess finish answering the question. He's a guy that's super quiet, conceited, not conceited. Well, I guess he is conceited too. He's concealed.
Well, let me put it this way. Ryan, the one that I usually talk to, is a big Tampa Bay Rays fan. And he and I joke all the time because we're big baseball boys. If the Tampa Bay Rays call you and ask about anyone in your system, anyone, hang up the phone and figure out what the fuck it is they like about that guy.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Steve Yzerman.
Yeah. People should stop picking up the phone, honestly. And he's not without fault. I think he's made some, he's made a couple moves that are relatively minor where I'm like, he probably shouldn't.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. He's a smart enough piece of shit where he intentionally makes the bad trade. So the next time he robs from you, you're holding on to the hope that this is one of those bad trades he's making.
Yeah, after the Mantha trade, I went on this Capitals podcast, and they're all good guys. And I was a big believer. I still am a big believer in Anthony Mantha. I think that guy has so much freaking talent. I just think it's impossible to tap into consistently. And they asked me to go on there, and they're like, tell us why this trade makes sense for the Caps. And I was like, man, I don't know what to tell you other than they shouldn't have picked up the phone. It's not like the Caps got absolutely robbed and they got nothing in return, but I saw that return and I thought, I don't know how Steve does it, and at this point I have to stop doubting him.
What was the full return for people who don't remember? It was a first and
It was Richard Ponick, a first Jacob Vrana for Anthony Mantha. Oh, yes. I have to look up the whole thing. And there's some salary
they got
retained.
They probably got a first round pick and the most talented, or at least player that lives up to his talent the most in that deal. It fucking Yzerman, man. The guy's unbelievable.
Anyway, Chris Drury.
Oh God, it's a very selfish thing. I wish the Rangers had a Steve Yzerman, but I just wish the league had more Steve Yzermans because it would be more interesting. Instead, it's just we follow this league where at least minimum 33% of the league is just straight stupid, and you have this guy over here being like, you guys are. Anytime Yzerman really needs something and he knows he can get it on cheap, he's just going to call – well, he was going to call the Canucks. Now he's just going to call fucking Edmonton or fucking –
Arizona, anybody there.
Yep. Yeah. So he just has a black book where he's like – he's ranked all the dumb dudes in order. And when he really needs something, he's going to start from the bottom and work his way down.
Yeah. The thing is, I mean – I love Steve Yzerman, and I think he's brilliant. I think he's the best GM in the NHL, but I don't think it needs to be that clear cut. I think there's so many other brilliant minds who can do the kind of things that Steve Yzerman is doing. It's just such an old boys club, and it's just such a – they're so afraid of change, and they're so afraid to go away from the ways they know.
Uh-huh.
Think of how many people – and people say, okay, well, name some names. You don't know their names. They're not. Yeah. That's not the way hockey works. They're the assistant to the assistant GM, or they're working in the analytics room, or they're working in the player development side on the ice, and they're, half the time
you'll
working
know them in 10 years.
Third-pairing defenseman. Yeah.
Maybe.
And the league is just so bad at pushing those guys up. And I think the Red Wings got very fortunate that Steve Yzerman was Steve Yzerman, and that's why he was brought in. Because, if Steve Yzerman, the player, turned out to be a shitty GM, he probably still would have been brought back.
What was the
with Ken Holland?
What was the quote you guys had from trading with Carolina this year from Yzerman? You should ask them why they made the trade.
Yeah. Admittedly, that was taken. The context and the tone was taken out of hand there, but yeah, Yzerman basically doesn't like answering questions where he's very Bill Belichick like. But it still holds true. Like, I don't know, ask them why they made the trade. It's not me.
Ned trade, right? Didn't they get a pick on top of Ned?
They traded Jonathan Bernier, who was a pending UFA and who walked for and a third round pick for Alex Nedeljkovic.
Cool. Nice.
Free. Thank you for shopping. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yes.
Appreciate it.
I'm happy the Red Wings are back and competitive, and I think the NHL is a more fun place when they're back and competitive. But he's a piece of shit. I'm just jealous. I'll wear it. I'm very jealous. It's incredible that, oh God, I just remember we stand hard when the Rangers were searching for a president of hockey operations, being like, listen, we'd love Yzerman, obviously, but he's going back to Detroit. I think we said that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ryan?
Every
time a week until they hire John Davidson.
Yes. And then obviously Davidson's now gone. So he's in Columbus. Fun times. Fun times.
Okay. Before we talk about Mark Stahl, I really do want to save Mark Stahl talk for the last thing we bring up with you. A lot of people joke about how down bad New York sports are. But in comparison to what's happening in Detroit, I feel better. Why does your life suck, essentially?
Oh God. Let me
do a better job of painting this picture. The Tigers are horrendous. The Lions are somehow worse. The Pistons are somehow worse. The Red Wings are your beacon of hope, and they're in my opinion, probably still 2 years away from being truly year in, year out playoff contenders. How did this happen to such a proud team? Take the Lions out of it. They're usually bad. But how did this happen to the Tigers, the Red Wings, and the Pistons simultaneously? How many souls did you sell in the late 90s, early 2000s for those Red Wings and Pistons championships?
Yeah, first of all, the Lions won't win as long as I live. They're a test from the devil for me to try and believe in something that's unbelievable, and I just simply refuse to fall in that trap. I'll watch the games and I'll grumble and I'll never expect anything. But no, I mean, the four cups from 97 to 08, there should have been a fifth one in 09. That was all of it. The part that really pains me as a Detroit sports fan is that the Tigers weren't able to capitalize while Mr. I was still around. I need to keep my mouth shut about how much it sucks because it blows. It's been so long since I've cared like about a real game that matters because the Red Wings haven't been in the mix for that long. Neither have the Tigers or the Pistons, but we had just had so much success. How can I sit here and whine? You know, there's franchises that haven't had a sniff of what the Red Wings have had in the past 20 years across all of their sports.
When was 1994? Let me check. Okay. Well, no, we went to the finals. It was fun. We had a good time. We lost.
Yeah, it's shitty. It's a funny story. I've become a big Formula One fan, and I'm a big Lewis Hamilton fan. He's one of my favorite, you know, sportsmen of all time. And I was, for anyone who knows, I was very, very upset about what happened in the last race of the season. And I actually had to go down and talk to my girlfriend and be like, hey, since we started dating however many years ago, like half a decade ago, whatever it is, you have not seen me care about a sports event like this because nothing in Detroit has mattered since then. So, you know, I'm a lunatic when I watch sports and welcome.
So yeah, I have to warn you that this is a problem and it's going to be a problem. Well, welcome. Yeah. Welcome back. Hopefully the Red Wings can do that. I guess now I do have to ask, the Rangers traded Mark Stahl to the Detroit Red Wings and you promptly re-signed him, but question mark. He's been okay / good. Tell me what's going on with Marky over there.
Here's the thing. Okay, first season, I think Troy Stetcher did a lot in terms of he basically covered Mark Stahl's weak spots, so that pairing was actually net effective. I don't think Mark Stahl's amazing.
Good. He's hot take, Ryan. Slow down. You're gonna shock some people with that one.
He's been surprisingly not bad though, and that's the thing. Obviously, his impacts on the ice are probably negative at both ends. Whatever. The Red Wings aren't in here to win games. They are completely decrepit on the left side of the defense, except for Nick Leddy. And even some games lately, he's not been at his absolute best. So no one's expecting the world of Mark Stahl. Everyone's just kind of having fun with it. He's there. He's a veteran presence. He's very popular in the room. The guys love him. The rookies love him. And like we talked about before, that matters. Is he going to go out there and do well for you? Most games, no. He'll have 1 in 10 where you're like, hey, Mark Stahl looked great today. Mostly I love when he just like steps into the top of the circles and rips an absolute piss missile off the post or randomly like dangles along the boards to generate an offensive chance.
First goal,
like,
of the season.
Is that Mark Stahl?
In 2019, Mark Stahl did a wraparound goal. It was like, what just happened?
It's like he's hilarious to watch. And we've kind of like joked about how he's, you know, Detroit's true star. Yeah, you know what? I was expecting worse from Mark Stahl. And so I'm pleasantly surprised. Do I hope they keep him around? No. Will I be upset if they do as like the third pairing / seventh guy? No, he's been surprisingly not atrocious. And that for the Red Wings of late is a big win.
It helps you get the jokes off too. Before we let you go, what are your thoughts on the taxi squad kind of idea that the NHL is going to go with from now on, the six players and et cetera?
We were talking pre-show. I don't know what the real answer is, man. Like, it's without getting into virus discourse here, one that I currently have, it's a yet another changing circumstance. And I think the NHL's best talent is tripping over its own feet and messing things up. That said, I don't know what the right answer is here. I think you're probably going to look at a wholesale reevaluation of what their standards are for, you know, sitting out, for when you're healthy again, for when you actually have to be on protocol, what protocol is. I think some kind of taxi squad or something to try and patchwork the rest of the season is necessary. Is it perfect? No, God, no. I can't sit here and criticize when I don't know what the right answer is.
Well, let me push you a little bit on that one. Who benefits from the taxi squad? How does the taxi squad make things better for the NHL team? What the NHL needed is essentially what the NBA is doing, where the NBA has these 10-day hardship contracts where if you need to fill your roster, don't worry about the salary cap, go fill your roster. That's essentially what the NHL needs to do, where if you have guys down, you should be able to call guys up freely, no waivers, no nothing. Bring them up, and when just call it an emergency recall and be able to send them right back down. From where I sit, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think any team should be putting any of their notable prospects on these taxi squads just so they could practice and chill with the team. What's the point? Just make the rules so that when you are hit by the virus and you have three spots open in your lineup, you're not worrying about the salary cap to fill those lineups. I really don't think this one was that hard to fix, and the NHL still hasn't quite gotten there.
My devil's advocate response here is that this is probably down to some nuance or maybe even significant differences between the NBA and the NHL CBAs. But I don't think what you said is wrong. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think maybe they just tried the taxi squad last year. That's what worked for them. So they're going back to what's familiar. I don't know.
The NHL going back to what's familiar. A tradition as old as time.
And I rip on them, and here I am advocating for, you know, don't be so hard on them because we don't know what the right answer is here. I am admittedly a little bit of a traditionalist with the rules, and I'm not mad at, like, for example, what the Tampa Bay Lightning did, because I think
it's... Hold on.
Traditionalists with the rules. You signed the chief cheater, you fuck. He's running your team. You're going to have a talk with old Stevie Y about what the salary cap actually means, friendo?
No. Greg, let me be clear with you. I don't mind when the rules are bent or when things benefit the Red Wings directly. Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. And totally, I think that's totally fair.
Yeah, we would do the same thing, but it's okay.
The NHL, much like every public health unit, much like every state, province, et cetera, in North America, no one has had any foresight either when they've been able to or when things have kind of blindsided them. This should have been something that should have been provisioned or planned for months and months ago at the start of the season. They've had to make this decision with almost literally hours in hand at most. And I think you're going to see the plan change again. So, Greg, I don't think you're wrong, but they're scrambling to catch up right now. I'll be shocked if the Red Wings play in Long Island on the 29th or whatever it is. I can't imagine they get back that soon. And if they do, they're going to have to pause again. It's just a shit show right now.
Absolutely. All sports leagues. Ryan, I don't want to keep you too much longer. Thank you so much for your time, buddy. Want to plug everything you do at Winged Wheel?
Yeah, we're at the Winged Wheel podcast, at Winged Wheel Pod on Twitter. Look for us wherever you find your podcast, wherever you listen to these guys. We're on YouTube as well if you want to see our ugly mugs and my receding hairline. And let me just say, Ryan, Greg, you guys do a phenomenal job. I don't spend any time listening to other podcasts because I don't have a commute and I have a low attention span. But on this show, you guys genuinely do a great job. So I appreciate you. Appreciate you, all your listeners. And let's have you on our show next time.
Yeah, we'll come on and we'll hang out. When they actually play, we'll figure something out.
Us big bag independents have to stick together there, bro.
That's it.
It's our only option.
There's only two of us, Ryan. It's just us. You've seen the list, right? You've gone through it too. Oh, it's just us.
We've actually just been signed, but no, I'm kidding.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, keep listen, independent.
If that company rhymes with Company X,
no, another day. We're getting out of here. You can follow me on Twitter at O'Reilly. You can follow Greg at Blue Break. We'll be back next week. Love you guys. Bye. And as always, I'd like to thank our Patreon subscribers, part of the NHL Insiders Club here at Blue Shirts Breakaway, for being the sole reason we can continue to do this podcast along with other Patreon members, but I'm going to thank them by name. But first, I want to thank all of you for supporting us through a fucking Slack notification. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? I'm going to leave it in. I'm doing one take here. I'm a piece of crap. Really am. But you out there listening, I can't believe I just did a Slack notification. I'm the worst. I really am garbage. You out there listening, though, are not garbage. Thanks for hanging out with Greg and I in 2021. Hopefully, the Rangers have a lot to talk about in 2022, and should be an interesting rest of the year. All right, Adam Cassidy, Adam Cohen, Adam Curtula,
Adam Keech. Oh, man. I said I would keep this going, right? Adam Keech, Alex Gardner, Amber Cohensberger, Austin Biedelman, Barbie Chris, Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Biggs Malone, Brian Doyle, Broadway, Blue Shirt Bleeder, Chris Finelli, CJ, Stellwagen, Daniel Dezen, David Naradin, David Siegel, Dennis Deitz, Eric Stagg, Give Gartner a Cup, Gretzky, Gareth McFly, Handel, Harrison Hasco, Hip Hop Jorge 89, Jake Berkowitz, Jerry and Marquez, JD, Jimmy Mack, John Hardesty, Justin Friedman, Chris from Florida, Christoph Burke, Kyle Franklin, Laser Krakowski, Lou Giordano, Lucas K, Matthew Klein, Max Nielsen, Patrick Overhead, Randy Tesser, Stephen Lohmeyer, Stig Bulbach, who had the Swedish rink. I posted it on Twitter on Christmas. I retweeted it. You could go see it. His rink is incredible. You have to go check that out. Swinegard, The Drop, BK, Eric Carlson, Tommy Sinclair, Tommy O'Neill, Tori from Manhattan, Upstate Vin, and rounding it out for 2021, Vinny Bracco, Vinny Hay, and Will Spector. Cannot thank you all enough for being here. I have some New Year's resolutions of my own. Personally, I'm going to get back into shape. That's right, best shape of my life. It's coming back. It's going to happen. And if you have any things you'd like to share or anything you'd like me to hold you to, reach out. Let's all encourage each other this year and stay together and see if it's been a hell of a 2 years anyway, but it's probably best if we stick together and keep each other tabs. What do you want to accomplish this year? And we can, we have a great community here. Not sure why we can't keep each other honest. What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? Let's get it together. You know what I really want to accomplish? A playoff cup run for the New York Rangers. Igor Shesterkin, Artemi Panarin, Fox, they're not getting any younger, I have to admit. Greg has convinced me on the all-in. I probably still wouldn't do the off-in for a hurdle trade, but nevertheless, I'm still very interested on making maybe a couple spicy moves that I'm going to investigate over the next couple weeks. Happy New Year, happy holidays, and thanks so much for supporting us. We love you guys. We'll be back next. Oh, actually, we might be back on BSBOT, depending if the Rangers actually play on Wednesday night. We'll record after. All right, love you guys. Bye.